Hi there. You are now listening to a sermon from Calvary City Church. We hope that this message blesses you, encourages you, and speaks to you. May God always reveal His goodness, mercy, and love to you. Enjoy the message.
Hi, everybody. Sorry that I have to sit here. I don't know if you can see me and the cameras. I just injured my knee recently playing football.
Yesterday.
Yeah, so it's kind of a struggle trying to even go up stage, so I'll just sit down here for now. Hope all of you are okay. If you're okay, can you wave at me? Yes, I can see. Hey, down here nicer, I can see everybody. Hi, all those people online. Yay. Yeah, so good to be here to see everybody back again. I know you can't really shake hands with one another, but you can turn to your neighbor and give them a smile. They can see by your eyes, you know, that you are smiling at them. So you just smile at the camera, smile at everyone. And yeah, it's really good to have all of you here. So yesterday, I don't know what happened. I was chasing the football, running at full speed, and I stepped on the ball. So my whole knee just twisted, and if I'm not wrong, or maybe it's correct now, I tore my ACL. So, yeah, surgery soon, coming soon. So you can pray for me that I'll be fully recovered after that. And I'll be able to play futsal again, maybe? Can, Narita? Narita still can play, right? Narita's my wife, so need to get her approval or so. Okay, I have something to share with you in line with what our theme is for this year. And before I begin, let me just pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that all of us are here, all of us are watching online to receive what you want to share to each and every one of us. It's not about what the worship team is going to sing, it's not about what the preacher is going to say, but it's your Holy Spirit that is the one that will speak to each and every one of our hearts. So I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will begin to stir within each and every one of our hearts right now. Every one of us just open up our hearts, including myself. We're just going to open up our hearts to let the Holy Spirit come in and speak to us in His own way. So I pray, Lord, that your word will speak to your people and that it'll take root and it'll sprout out like a tree that is planted by the rivers of living water, that it'll always bear fruit. So I thank you for your people. I thank you even for those who are watching online, that this will be really a time to dig deep into your word and to really grow in it as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our theme for this year is how can they hear? In line with what we're going to say is that we want to see every person in this church, whether you are watching online or whether you are here right now, every single one of us taking an initiative to really share about Jesus to the people around us. And if you don't know who this Jesus is yet, stay around, talk to one of our leaders. They'll gladly explain to you and share this good news with you that you have not heard before. So in line with the theme, I titled this message, The Utmost Importance. The Utmost Importance. What is most important? And we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 20. We're going to expound on these few verses that we have. If you have your Bible, you can take it out and read it. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 20. I know it's a lot of verses. We're not going to read through all of it, but you can read it on your own when you get back. So the utmost importance, when we talk about evangelism, we talk about sharing Christ to those people around us, what is most important? And I have just three simple points for you to take home today to really learn why is this important? What is so important? Okay, Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 1 to 3 first. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Verse 2. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And the first part of verse 3 says, "Go your way, behold." So the setting of these three verses, it starts off with Jesus sending out 72 of his disciples to all the cities around two by two. So it's almost like Jesus is at the command center. Have you all been into a command center before? Like you see movies, you sit there, you're like, okay, dispatch, this person go here, this person go there, this person go here. And Jesus was doing that. He was the person who is in charge. He was sending 72 people out two by two. So if you 72 divide by two is how many pairs? Come on, come on, come on. 36. Correct. So there's 36 pairs going out to each and every city. So Jesus is giving this command, and the last time that I was sharing from verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I shared it from Matthew, if I'm not wrong. But we have to think of it in a different way. The harvest is not ours. The harvest belongs to the Lord. And that's why he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out his laborers. So this is Jesus sending out 72 people, going around to cities and really telling them, hey, what are you going to do? What is this 72 people supposed to do when they go out? So the first point is this. It's found in verse 5 and 6 and verse 9. So Jesus sends out these 72. What are they supposed to do? This is what they're supposed to do. In verse 5, it says, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And in verse 9, it says, heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So we're going to take all these scriptures and how we're going to apply it to our own lives is this, that we are messengers of the kingdom of God. That's my first point. We are messengers of the kingdom of God. And what are we supposed to do when we are that messengers? Every one of us here, let's say how many people are in this hall right now. Let's say about 50, 60 of us here. If all of us are the messengers of the kingdom of God, all of us bear this responsibility that we need to do, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to be bearers of his peace towards those who come, those who choose to receive it. Right? In that verse 5, it says, right, go to each house and say, peace be to you. Or in their ancient, in their language, it says, shalom. Peace be with you. Shalom. And if they receive it, that means they will have that peace. So when we talk about going out to share the gospel, how can they hear? It's not about, oh, you need to believe in Jesus. Jesus is the best. He is. But what you're supposed to go is that you go there to bring peace to that house. Bring that Jesus who brings that peace to them. So we are that messengers going into wherever you are, in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, especially now that you can't travel out anywhere, your neighborhood is the people that you meet the most. So be that bearers of peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't come from you. It comes from Jesus when you tell them, hey, I'm bringing Jesus and this Jesus brings peace to you. At the same time, we also send to proclaim the salvation through Jesus. So there's this, I work in a parachurch organization called Campus Crusade. Anybody heard of Campus Crusade for Christ? Yeah, not many, okay, it's okay. So in Campus Crusade, we have this quote that we want to teach or train everybody who does evangelism. And it says, success in witnessing. There are 3 points in success in witnessing or sharing the gospel. Firstly, is you take the initiative to share Christ. You're taking the initiative to share Christ. Secondly, you are sharing Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just you going out and just talking, but the Holy Spirit is the one that leads you. And lastly, is living the results to God. So success in witnessing is taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and living the results to God. So as we are messengers of this kingdom of God, we are these bearers of peace to all those people, right? One thing that really intrigues me and is found in this chapter as well is found in verse 13 to 16. It says this, Jesus himself is saying this, okay? I just focus on verse 16. It says, the one who hears you, hears me. The one who rejects you, rejects me. And the one who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. As messengers, right, our responsibility is not to force that person to believe in Jesus. The outcome it doesn't belong to us. The outcome really belongs to Jesus. The outcome belongs to how the Holy Spirit wants to work within all these people that you are bringing that peace to. So if they reject you, some of us are afraid, including myself. When you're talking to strangers or people that you don't know, how are you going to bring out the message of Jesus Christ to them? But with this kind of freedom you have is that the outcome doesn't matter. Your role, each and every one of us here, including those watching online, your role is to just be that messenger of peace, the one that proclaims the salvation of Jesus. The outcome doesn't really concern you because it belongs to the Holy Spirit. That's why in Success in Witnessing, you are taking the initiative, you are relying on the Holy Spirit, and you are leaving the results to God. It really frees you, trust me, that you are not really concerned, even if you say like, the person never even interested in what I'm going to share. It doesn't matter. You have done your part, and it's really up to the Holy Spirit. It may be 1 year from now, it may be 3 years from now, or 5 years that this person suddenly remembered what you have told them. One of the examples is that there was this athlete, national athlete in Singapore, that one of my colleagues met him at one of the major games, in SEA Games, about 4 years ago. And that was the first time they met. And my colleague just took the step of faith and said, hey, I'm praying for you, I'm a Christian, I'm praying for you, and this Jesus really loves you. That's all he said, nothing much. And then after that, just keep following up with him. How are you? How are you doing? Bringing that peace into this athlete's life. Because, you know, as national athlete, there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of pressure to perform. But my colleague just does this. Every major game that he goes, meet up with him. How are you? Are you doing okay? Everything's okay? And out of the blue, not even my colleague, okay? It's somebody else that again shared the gospel to this athlete and he received Christ. And now, this athlete is like really on fire for Jesus. He is the one that is coming back to volunteer with us to teach Bible study. So it took at least 5 years until to the point of where he is now really fired up for Jesus. But it takes that first step of bringing that gospel. It takes that first step and taking the initiative of bringing this peace to these people's lives. You may not reap the fruit. It may be other people that may reap the fruit, but it doesn't matter because it's for the kingdom of God. So remind yourself, you can turn to your neighbor, don't need to touch them or anything. Just remind them, hey, you are the messenger of the kingdom of God. Those who are online, you can tell people next to you as well, or you want to type it in the chat, you can do that as well. You are a messenger of the kingdom of God. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So every single one of us here, if you believe in Jesus, this is the responsibility that has on you. But here's the thing. We are not going out on our own strength. My second point is this. We are given authority over all power of the enemy. Let's look at verse 17 to 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 19. It says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And verse 19, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. You are given the authority. And what authority is this? It's authority of a king. You know, there's something as a messenger, right? As you send out a messenger, you bear an authority from the person who gave you that command. And let me highlight this word, given, right? In verse 19, I have given you authority. It's not something you can earn. You can't earn authority from Jesus by being good. You can't learn authority. You can learn maybe the gaya of being authoritative, but you can't learn authority. Authority is given unto you. So Jesus is giving the authority to every single one of us here. And as messengers, we are representatives from the kingdom of God. To help you understand this, right, I thought of something quite funny that we're going to think of it. If you think it's funny, you can laugh. Lah. But if you're not, it's okay. Imagine you are at the mama shop. Okay? mama shop or any restaurant you are eating, right? But the food hasn't come yet. Your table is empty. You are still sitting there. And you didn't wear your mask. Now it's SOP, right? You didn't wear your mask. Either you get caught or fined, this kind of things, right? Now, the mamak owner or the mamak guy, the person cooking or the waiter, come and tells you, hey, could you please wear your mask? Most of us will be thinking, oh, okay. And then we suddenly like just take out the mask and then put back into our pocket again, start drinking some water just to cover a bit that we don't want to wear our mask. Because that's very tiring, right? You wear your mask. So you kind of like just shrug it off because yeah, it's just the person, a waiter, a waitress, or the mamak person. But what happens when suddenly a policeman walks in? Immediately you see every single table, so where's my mask, where's my mask? The same thing that day that happened to, we were here, I mean nobody was here lah, just the media team. Suddenly they found that a policeman drove into our compound. But actually the policeman just want to U-turn and go out. But all of us here were just like, where's our mask, where's our mask, where's our mask, master wear mask, social distancing, please, please. Why does that happen? Is it because the mamak guy looks like, or maybe a bit skinny or scrawny? I don't think so. They do roti canai every day. Their hands should be quite strong. They can actually throw you out of the restaurant. But when a policeman comes, it's different. There's that authority given to this policeman. And then the policeman comes in, he's like, oh, he doesn't even need to look strong. He just needs to give you that stare, pull out his badge, you know already. Because that authority was given to him to enforce certain rules. So in the same way, when Jesus says that his authority is given to you, who will be the one who fears you? It will be the enemy. You don't have to fear. You are going in with that authority that Jesus has given you. One more scripture that we're going to look at is Ephesians 1, 20 to 23. This explains why the authority has been given to us. Ephesians 1, 20 to 23, it says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus has been given authority of every single thing. Every single authority, power does not come close to the power that Jesus has. And imagine you have this authoritative figure behind you. How bold will you be to go and now do things for Jesus? You have this like big guy standing behind you, just like bzz, something like that, superpowers kind of thing. You eventually become like more bold to go and do things for Jesus. So in the same way, if Jesus is in our corner and Jesus has given us the authority, we can do many, many things for him. And that's why in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. All authority has been given to you through the Holy Spirit. That's why we talk about relying, taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, because that authority is in you and has been given to you. So, recap a bit. First point, we are messengers of the kingdom of God. Secondly, we are given authority over all power of the enemy. Very interestingly, I was talking to one of our media team yesterday. We were talking about something, how evangelism takes place. Like, what makes you feel comfortable when you're going to share Christ? And there are many different methods of sharing Christ. There doesn't have a fixed way of sharing the gospel. Some people may prefer to be direct. For example, we were talking, and Athens is one of them. Athens will say, I feel the urgency that I need to tell this person about Jesus. And that's okay. That's the way that he feels that I need to tell this person about Jesus. And for some of us, it may be the other way. we want to create that connection first. We want to know them personally. We want to get really involved, knowing who they are. And then we are more comfortable to share Christ with them. But in any way that you do it, the method, it's okay. It doesn't matter. But as long as you are taking the initiative, as long as you are doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Say it together with me. In the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no fear anymore. You have given all authority to you. And lastly, this is the most important point. In verse 20, it starts off, Luke chapter 10, verse 20, it starts off with this word, nevertheless, right? Yeah, nevertheless. It's such a twist in everything. First, Jesus was saying, wow, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I have given you authority to trample over all serpents and all power. Nevertheless, it's like a twist, a but, or like something is coming up. Jesus says this in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What a twist this is. It's no longer about how many people like you want to share the Christ with, but most importantly, rejoice in what? That your names are written in heaven. And what does this mean? It says that we have eternal life. This is what you should rejoice in more than seeing people get healed, more than seeing people come to know Christ, but is that this relationship with Jesus is more important. That's why it's called utmost importance. So the third point is that we have eternal life. What is eternal life? Let's look at John 17, verse 2 to 3. John 17, verse 2 to 3. It says, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life is this, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus himself. This is the utmost importance. No point that you go and share about Jesus to other people when you yourself are not enjoying this relationship with Jesus. I mean, enjoying doesn't mean happy, okay? Joyful relationship, enjoying, really committing to the relationship, it's not just about happiness, but you have this relationship. And Jesus is giving this command. He says that, do not rejoice in this. Is it the work, the healing of anything, or the work of evangelism? But rejoice that we are his beloved. We know him and he knows us. Imagine having a relationship with the king himself. Yes, he is that authoritative figure. But Jesus is taking another step and saying that, no, it's not just about authority, but I want to have this relationship with you. Our identity, firstly, is found in him before our role or our responsibility. So I like this part where it says, nevertheless. It's such a twist in things. We can do many, many works. One of the verses in the Bible says that you can do a lot of things. You can heal the sick, you can preach, you can prophesy, but if you lack one thing, and that is love, it's like banging a cymbal and then just like noise. So the most important thing is that, firstly, we have a relationship with Jesus. We love him, and because of that, we are able to love others. So to conclude my just short sharing to encourage you to also go and share the gospel with others is this. Imagine a triangle. You know, you've seen the food pyramid, right? That triangle thing, and it's split into different levels. Okay, so imagine you split it to three levels. Okay, there's the top, there's the middle, there's the bottom, it's a triangle. And the bottom part, where it's the base of everything, where everything is the foundation, is this. And found in the point number three is that your identity in Christ. That is your foundation. Your identity in Christ is utmost importance above all things. And the second layer is authority. Because you have an identity in Jesus, you have been given that authority. And lastly, the top one, which is a very small portion, it's responsibility. You've heard of the, anybody watch Spider-Man here? The famous quote from Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. All the Spider-Man fans suddenly wake up ready. It's like, ooh, Spider-Man. But yeah, so identity is your most foundation of all things. If you don't have your identity, you are just doing things without any base. Your pyramid may just fall off suddenly. And then you have your authority, which has been given to you. And lastly, is your responsibility. So I just want to encourage you with this as we start, almost reaching the middle of this year. And we want to be true to what our church is looking towards, the vision of having Jesus Christ shared to every single person out there, be it online or even to your neighborhood, to your workplace. How will they hear if there is nobody telling them about this Jesus? How will they hear if we do not take that initiative? But in order to reach that point that we want to take the initiative, let's start off with the most basic. Let's have a personal relationship with Jesus. Let's be firm in our identity in Him. And then we will understand His authority that He's been given to all of us. And then we can go and do the works of Christ. That's why He said, rejoice not in this, but that your names are written in heaven. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for every single one of us here, even for those watching online. Lord, I pray that You will encourage them. You would speak into their hearts. You would remind them of Your word. And most of all, You would remind them of their identity in You. And that once they get this really true, firm foundation fixed on You, Lord, they will do great things for You because of the authority You have given to them. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that every single person in Calvary City Church or out of Calvary City Church watching this right now, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will remind them of this and You will give them that power to be able to share the gospel to those around them. Give them boldness to know that You are in their corner, they have nothing to fear, and the outcome doesn't really concern them because the outcome is up to You. I pray that they will faithfully water, they will faithfully plant seeds in the lives of everyone around them. And Lord, that at right time, You will bring as well people to reap these fruits, Lord Jesus, for Your kingdom, to see more and more people coming to know You as their Lord and Savior. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for who You are. I thank You for every single one of us here that You have given us, really, Yourself to all of us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons like these, check out our website at calvary.com.my. We hope you have a blessed week ahead.